Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
An invitation to receive Him. And so this message is just, we're going to be focusing on a verse in Revelation chapter 3. And so I'm just going to start reading the passage and we'll go from there. So Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14, Jesus here is talking to different churches and he gets to this specific church. And so let's just read what he has to say. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen and faithful and a true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. I would like that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sit down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." What a message, right? So these verses are in Revelation, and Jesus is talking to different churches and pointing out things that he sees that either can change or what they're doing right. And he gets to this church, and his message is pretty different from the other churches, right? The other churches, he kind of tells them to remember or come back to your first love, remember what he's done, remember their relationship. But this one is like a straight open rebuke. And so he's talking to this church in Laodicea, and I want to just go into the issues that we're seeing in this church and kind of what God is saying to this church and to all of us. So the first point of this message and the first issue we see in this church is their self-righteous independence, right? So this church, there are people in this church that are self-righteous, meaning that they don't really see their need for God, right? They think that they're righteous in their own works and they're independent from God. So they have everything they need. They don't really need God, right? Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 says, "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I would like that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." What does that mean, right? Jesus is saying, God is saying, I want you to be hot or cold, not lukewarm. What is he referring to? One second. What does this mean? Well, everyone knows this part, right? Hot drinks and cold drinks are refreshing. If you're cold and you get a cup of hot cocoa or some hot tea, it's refreshing to you. If you're hot and like in Arizona, it's like 119 degrees. If you're hot, cold drinks are really refreshing right now. And so this is just something that's known. In the times of the Bible, people either served drinks that were hot or cold at an event or banquet. And even today, we only serve drinks that are hot or cold. Drinks that are lukewarm, nobody likes them. Have you ever had a bottle of water that was lukewarm? Or a bottle of water that has been sitting in my car at 110 degrees and I like bring it inside and it cools down a little bit. I take a sip of it and it's disgusting, right? It's not refreshing. It's too warm. It's not cold enough. I spit it out of my mouth, right? Drinks in that time, and even now, drinks that were lukewarm were considered insulting and would be spit out. You would spit it out. You don't want it. This is nasty. I'm not refreshed right now. If I'm hot and you're serving me this lukewarm drink, I don't want it. So hot and cold were good things, and both referring to born-again believers. The Laodiceans were self-righteous and did not think they had sin or needed forgiveness, right? Jesus is kind of using this play on words and play on, you know, hot versus cold. And he's not referring to water. He's referring to any drink, really. Like in the olden times, they would serve cold wine or wine that was actually hot or warm. They would mix it with like hot water. Interesting. Never heard of that. But I learned that that's a thing. So they would drink their drinks like that. So he's using this play on words on things that we clearly see are good, right? Hot drinks and cold drinks are good. They can be refreshing when necessary, but a lukewarm drink never has a place. And we're going to go into this a little deeper. We're talking about here that the Laodiceans, they were self-righteous. There's another reference in the Bible to this kind of thinking of being rich and being self-reliant or independent. And we see that in chapter 12, verses 8 and 14. There's a lot of prophecy in the middle, or God basically talking about what he has done for Ephraim, which is a tribe of Israel. But let's read. Ephraim has said, "Ah, but I am rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors, they cannot find in me iniquity or sin." Let's stop right there. The Bible says that no one is righteous, not even one. There's no one that can stand before God and say, "Hey, look at all my good works. Look at all these things right here. Hey, I'm righteous. I don't need the blood of Jesus to be saved." Nobody can stand before God and say that they're righteous. The Bible actually says that our righteous deeds are like filthy rags before the Lord. So none of us are righteous. So this tribe of Israel is saying, "Well, I'm rich. I have wealth. I know everything. I don't have sin. I'm perfect." That is deception, right? Nobody is. Nobody is self-righteous. Nobody can stand in front of God and say, "I have need of nothing." We can't even take a breath without God, right? And then we see in verse 14 of the same chapter, Ephraim has given bitter provocation. So his Lord will leave his blood guilt on him and will repay him for his disgraceful deeds. So this is saying, if Ephraim was in Christ, for example, a born-again believer, and they have received forgiveness for sins because they've received Christ, like they recognize their need for God, God wouldn't be saying that he's going to repay them for their disgraceful deeds. But no, they are saying that we don't need you, God. We have what we need. With their own eyes, they think that they don't have sin. But God is saying, "Well, you still have sin. You don't have anything to pay for that sin, or to pay the penalty for that sin. So the wrath for that sin is going to come upon you." This is a warning. This is him saying, this is what is going to happen to you if you don't repent, which means that they don't actually have a relationship with God. First John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So just like the tribe of Israel, Ephraim, and this church in Laodicea is still in Israel, is saying, hey, we don't have sin. We don't have need for you. We're rich. We don't have any need for anything. We're good. But guess what? Their self-righteousness deceived them. They're thinking in their head that they're good with their own good deeds and their own things that they have that are making them feel comfort. They've been deceived, right? Revelation 3:17, the verse I'm referring to. For you say, I'm rich. I have prospered. I need nothing. Not realizing that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. This is our condition without Jesus. This is our condition before Christ. When we think that we have no need for God, right? There are many, if you remember who you were before Christ, you didn't really think you needed saving. Maybe some did, but some probably, you may not have thought that you needed saving until somehow you had this realization, oh my gosh, I'm in need of a savior. I've sinned against God. When you get that recognition, right, you turn away, you receive Christ, and he covers you, right? But this church was saying that we don't need anything. They didn't realize their need for God. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the truth for all of us, right? We cannot even take a breath without God. There's nothing that we can do that bears fruit apart from God. There's nothing, and apart from God in general, we can do nothing because he created everything and he made us and he formed us. And the very breath that we're breathing is the breath of God. He gave it to us. So it's a very dangerous thing to think now that after God created everything, that you are not in need of him, right? Have you ever heard somebody say, maybe on social media, or say with their mouth, like, self-made, like, I'm a self-made this or a self-made that? That's impossible. We are made by God. We are not self-made. And so this is the kind of mindset that this church had. And so to break down this idea of them being poor, blind, and naked, they were poor because they claimed to be rich, or this, it's like the spiritual principle of being without sin. But they were actually poor and sinful, right? Those who say, oh, I am rich, tend to be the ones that are poor. And those who say, well, I am poor, like, you realize your need for God, those are the ones that turn out to be rich. Why? Because they receive Jesus and they receive their inheritance. So the difference is that this church, the people in these, some of the people in this church were claiming to be rich, yet they were poor. They were spiritually poor in the sense that they did not have Jesus. Blind. They claimed to see clearly, but were blind to their actual condition without God. And their actual condition, we'll see later in the text, is that they're naked, right? They and I'm going to explain this too, that they cannot pay for their sins, and so their sins that are red like scarlet are just all over them, and they don't recognize that they need to be washed by the blood of Jesus to be made white as snow. So they're also naked. Again, their unrighteousness was exposed. Their sin was laid bare because they do not have Christ. They have sins that are separating them from God, and they're still apparent. They're still there, right? They haven't been washed away, which means they are not in Christ. So it's possible for you to be in church It's possible for you to even be on a worship team, to be a it's possible, and to be in those places of position or places in the church or even attending church and not actually be in relationship with God. It's possible. There's people in church right now who have never actually given their life to Jesus, and they don't even recognize it a lot of the times. And they're naked, they're uncovered, their sins are separating from God, and Jesus has not come in and clothed them. And so this is the church that he's talking to. These are the people in the church that he's talking to. He's talking to those who are even in church or religious or saying that they don't need God, and they literally don't have God. So my next point is a call to repentance. We see this in Revelations chapter 3, verse 18. Jesus is saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness, your evil deeds, your sin may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see your true condition. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. When God rebukes them, he offers them an opportunity to repent, to actually come to the knowledge of Christ and receive him as their Lord. He's giving them an opportunity right here. He's saying, repent. I want you to buy from me. So let's kind of break down what it means, what he means by gold refined by fire and white garments and salve. Let's break this down. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gold refined by fire is a character or heart that has been refined by the testing and trials. Those are the fires, right? That show that prove the genuineness of your faith, that prove that you actually have faith in Jesus, right? When that testing comes and you hold on to Christ, you're being purified from any impurity. But we see here that he's saying, buy from me gold refined by fire, meaning that they don't have this faith. They don't have a genuine faith in Jesus. So he's asking them to come to buy from him, to receive that from him, because you can only get it from Jesus, right? White garments. Isaiah chapter 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. These white garments are exactly what this verse says, the garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. And in the New Testament, we see that in a number of places that we are told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That we are hidden in with Christ in God, right? So Christ, his righteousness, his righteousness is our righteousness, because we are covered by his blood. We are, our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus, by the sacrifice of Christ. And when God sees us, he sees that robe of righteousness. He sees Jesus. He sees the blood that covers our sins. And that's why we can have fellowship and relationship with God. And so he's saying, come to me, buy white garments. I want to clothe you in righteousness. I want to clothe you in my salvation, right? You have to come and get it from him. Salve for your eyes. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12. Ears to hear, eyes to see are both gifts from the Lord. God wants to take salve and cover their eyes so that they can see straight, right? So that they're able to see their need, realize their need for God, and come running. Because when you realize your need for God, you come running because you know that you cannot be saved any other way. And so the next point, after God is saying this and he's saying repent, why is he doing that? Because he wants all of them. He wants them to be saved, and not just them in that church, but he wants us to be saved. If we have not recognized this, if we think we don't need anything from God and we're good without him, well, he wants you to be saved. He wants you to repent of that thinking, because the truth is, no one is without sin. If you remember that lady that was accused of or caught in the act of adultery, right? And everybody was accusing her, like, Jesus, what are you going to do? Well, we just caught her in the act of adultery. And what did he say? He who is without sin cast the first stone. And it also says that from the oldest to the youngest, like, they started to leave. Why? Because everyone has sin. There is no one without sin. That proves the point. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to recognize that. And he gives this invitation, right? An invitation to receive him. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. This verse shows, it's one of my favorite verses too. This verse shows that the people he's talking to, they have not opened the door. They have not let Jesus in. So there are people in church right now who have not let Jesus in. Are you one of them? Have you let Jesus in? Have you opened the door and allowed him to come and have relationship with you? This is the invitation. He's knocking. He doesn't just rebuke and say, oh, well, I'm done with you. He says, I'm knocking on the door. If you let me in, I will come. I will fill you. I will clothe you with righteousness. I will cover your nakedness. I'll give you eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to understand. I'll refine you. This is the invitation, an invitation to relationship with God, not to religiosity or a book of rules that you're following. And when you look at the rules, you're like, oh, yeah, no, I do all of that. No, an invitation to intimate, true, honest relationship. This is the invitation. When Jesus came into the world, this is what he was inviting and still is inviting people into, relationship. John chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Like, Jesus came to this world, and people didn't even recognize him. He came to his own. He came to his own. And those who were his own did not receive him. He came to the house of Israel. He says that. Jesus says that. He came literally to the house of Israel and they rejected him. He came to them first and they said no. The Pharisees, who are much like this church in Laodicea that he's referring to, they were like, we're not blind. We see. We don't need your righteousness, you're a false prophet. They didn't receive him. They rejected him. They put him on the cross. But here's the invitation again. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Jesus is knocking. Maybe it's at the door of your heart. But he's knocking at the door of every heart that has not received him, every heart that is closed off. He's knocking at the door. Will you open the door? If you haven't already, will you open the door? Or if you have known God at one point and you had this relationship with God, and all of a sudden, maybe there was a hurt, maybe there's bitterness, maybe there's unforgiveness in your heart, or something like a tragedy happened to you, and you close your heart off to God. Well, he's knocking at the door. Will you open? Will you receive him? Will you dine with him? Will you open your heart to relationship with him again? This is God's heart. Again, he wants everyone to be saved. He doesn't want us to be in self-righteous independence. No. He wants everyone to be saved. And so, with that being said, I have this question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you received him as your Lord? Seriously consider, have you opened the door of your heart? I don't care if you go to church or not. Have you opened your heart to Jesus? Have you allowed him in? Have you received him as your Lord? If not, I want to share the gospel with you. Isaiah chapter 53 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've all left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. It's like that verse I shared earlier. There's no one that is without sin, right? No one is righteous, not even one. We've all strayed away. We've all sinned against God. We've all thought we were right in our own eyes, and turns out we were completely wrong. And even in that, God saw that, and he chose to let our sins fall on him, fall on Jesus, so that we might be saved. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus is the only way. No one can get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And so, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned, sorry, and fall short of the glory of God. And so, we've all sinned, and this sin leads to death, and that death is referring to eternal separation from God in hell. This is where we're going if we don't have Jesus. And that's bad news, right? Because we've all sinned. Sin separates us from God. Well, the good news of the gospel is that God loves us so much, and he wants fellowship. He wants relationship with us, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He paid the penalty for that we were supposed to pay, right? The wrath of God against sin fell upon Jesus. And because of what Jesus has done for us, there is no separation. Remember, he clothes us in his righteousness. His blood washes away every sin. And so because there's no separation, we get to have fellowship and relationship with God here on earth and continue that for eternity, right? This is the eternity, eternal life with him. We get to have relationship and fellowship with him. And so Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You will get the gift of eternal life. And because eternal life is a gift, it's not something you can earn by doing good deeds, right? That self-righteousness, like, oh, I can work my way, or if I do these things, I'm set, I'm good. No, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one should boast." So it's not because of our works or our good deeds. In fact, Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by giving us new life and new birth by the Holy Spirit." So it's not by works, but it's because Jesus laid down his life that we get eternal life when we receive him, right? That verse says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "To as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." So we must receive him. And when you say that you're receiving Jesus, you're saying that you're making him the Lord of your life. You're laying down your life to live for him. In the same way that he laid down his life for us, we lay down our life to live for him, to be obedient to him, to position our lives after him in pursuit of him. And so if you're on this call and you're saying that you want to receive Jesus, you want to receive this free gift of eternal life, say this prayer with me. Even if you're saying, "Well, I've been going to church, but I haven't opened my heart to Jesus," this is the time to receive him, to take that invitation, open the door of your heart and let him in. So say this prayer with me. "Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you. Everything that I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus."
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.